Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is CSN's Capitals Faceoff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of CSN's Capitals Faceoff podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me, he is the Capitals insider. He is the Woodstock to my Snoopy. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Woodstock was way cooler than Snoopy.
That is craziness. That is way just cooler. Insanity. You're crazy. Anyway, today we are going to talk about...
Snoopy was a dotard.
That's good vocabulary there. Today we're going to talk about the competition to make the roster, the real competition, the players who are still actually in the running as opposed to the players who are just warm bodies here at camp. We're going to talk about Tom Wilson's suspension. We're going to talk a little bit about special teams, and then we're going to open up the mailbag. All right, Tarik, so let's look at the roster competition. There were some cuts today.
Yep.
Liam O'Brien, Zach Sill, Riley Barber, Parker Milner, Jyrki Jokipakka, and Colby Williams are no longer on the Caps roster. Jokipakka got released from his PTO,
yep.
So he is out of the organization altogether. Liam O'Brien, Zach Sill put on waivers so that they could be reassigned to Hershey. Everybody else is on their way to Hershey. So let's talk about where that leaves us in terms of the roster competition.
30 players.
We're down 30 players.
Yep.
We're getting real close.
Seven more cuts.
And I think Barry Trotz has been sort of showing us his hand with the lines he's been practicing with the last few days and the special teams that we saw at practice today.
Yep.
We saw the top six has been consistent the last 2 days.
That'll be your regular season top six.
Burakovsky, Backstrom, and Oshie on one line. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, on Connolly. And Connolly on the other line. Connolly may be a surprise there for some people because I know Jacob Vrana had his chances in the preseason.
Yep.
What is it about Connolly that they're seeing? Why is he getting that shot in the top six?
Well, I think there are a couple things there. You know, Barry Trotz became a big fan of Connolly's late last season. You know, he definitely made the most of his little bit of playing time he got. He didn't play a whole lot on power play. He didn't play a whole lot or at all on penalty kill. In the 11 minutes or so he was out there every night, he always had like two good scoring chances. I mean, he just, the puck finds him. You know, he came into camp in great shape this year. He definitely looks like he has a little more jump in his step. He's got more confidence. You know, remember, he's a former first-round draft pick. First-round draft picks don't lose all that ability. Sometimes they're just not able to put it all together, but he still has moments in games where you're like, wow. And, you know, he's not going to become a star at this point in the league, but he could become a 20-goal scorer, a consistent 20-goal scorer at 25 years old, and I think he's going to get the first look, and I like the fact that it takes some of the pressure off Jacob Vrana. You know, Vrana looks like a guy who I think is susceptible to feeling too much pressure and maybe putting too much on his shoulders. Put him on the third line. Let him work his way up. If Connolly stumbles or if there's another reason to make a move up there, then you can move Vrana into the top six. So, you know, let him kind of, you know, sink his teeth into a third line role and let Connolly, who I think has played well enough to deserve it. I mean, last season ended weird with the 7D and him on the outside.
Yeah, and him on the outside looking in. But Trotz mentioned that today on Tuesday that he was sort of the, in terms of the power play at least, that he was the swingman and there were just no injuries.
Right.
And so he always found himself on the outside looking in, and I don't think they were displeased with his play. It was just that he was the odd man out.
Yeah, and he's gonna be the man this year. I mean, if you look at the way Barry was running his special teams on Tuesday, Connolly is gonna be on that second power play unit, full-time role. He was the man on the goal line. You know, the few times he played on the power play last season, a handful of games, he was in the triangle, a la Oshie, a la Justin Williams. He was being used as the goal line guy today, and it looks like Conley's going to get a pretty big dose of additional responsibility. You know, he got that new contract, 2 years, $3 million, and he's going to get the chance to earn it.
On Monday, Vrana, Eller, and Wilson were skating together on a line. Tuesday, it was Vrana, Eller, and Boyd. Boyd is a guy that they're just trying to get an extra look at, right? He's not someone who's going to make the opening roster.
I don't think so. I think he's a natural center who is playing in an organization that has four NHL centers. I think that the Tom Wilson suspension has a little bit of reason for him moving into that role,
yep,
because they want him to get – he's going to be in one of these next couple of games while, yep, Wilson's sitting out because of the ban, and they want Boyd to get a little chemistry with that unit. They also want to give him the opportunity to show what he can do. I think Boyd right now is a whole lot like maybe Chandler Stevenson. They're kind of playing for that pecking order, for that first call up. I think those two guys that, you know, they've waited for their time in Hershey, and I think they might have to wait a little bit longer. You know, it's not ideal, but, you know, this is it's pro hockey.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's hard to, you know, there's 700 some NHL players, man. It's hard to become a full timer in that group.
I know there was some talk about whether or not Vrana would make the team, but today when they were practicing the power plays, yeah, Vrana was on one of those units, and that is a good indication to me because they're not just going to practice players who they, yeah, don't at this point who they have no plans of making that team.
Look, you got 9 days till the regular season opener, right? Barry Trotz gets his players for 90 minutes on the ice every day. There's no time to waste. When Barry Trotz puts out his groupings, it's for a reason. It's for reps. It's so the coaches can get a look at it. Vrana will make this team. He'll be in the top nine. He'll be on that second unit power play. Take it to the bank.
So now we get to where the real competition is, and that's that fourth line. We know Beagle's going to be the center there. That's not going to change. I know some people say, what do you move here, people there? Is he really said Beagle's going to be the fourth line center?
Yeah, as long as he's healthy.
So that leaves us with, if we, as you said, Stevenson and Boyd are guys who are getting an extra look, but they're not. We fairly confident that they're not going to make the opening roster.
I think it's an uphill battle for those, yeah, two. Put it that way. I'm not confident that they won't, but I think it's an uphill battle at this point.
That means the two spots next to Beagle and the presumably one, maybe two extra forward spots. That competition is down to Grailback, Walker, Chyson, Smith-Pelly, and Peluso. Who's got the upper hand there, you think?
I think it's going to come down to whether they keep 13 or 14 forwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be one pressure point. If I were to predict my fourth line as of right now, I'm going to go Walker, Stevenson, and either Chyson or Grailback.
No, you mean Walker, Beagle.
I'm sorry, Walker, Beagle,
right,
and either, I'm looking at the current lineup, Walker, Beagle, and either Grailback or Chyson. And then the extras, possibly Peluso and Smith-Pelly, although I don't think they're out of the conversation. I think that based on the way the lineup has been the past couple of days, they're the guys who have to push those other guys out of the way. I think Grayback's stock skyrocketed with his performance against the Blues on Friday night. He was the best player out there.
Yep.
Probably for either team. He was all over the place. Maybe with the exception of
Robert Thomas.
Scored two goals.
Yeah.
You know, Peluso, I think, is going to have to do a little more. I think Smith-Pelly will have to do a little more. You know, the fact that Grayback was out there with the penalty killers.
Yep,
he was on the second pairing with, you know, the first pairing was Tom Wilson and Lars Eller, and Grayback and Beagle were that second pairing. So for the PK forwards, that's another guy who I think has kind of played his way, you know, to the top of that conversation.
If I'm Ben Mann,
that conversation.
Right now, I would say it'd be Walker, Beagle, Grailvec. I think another thing Grailvec has going for him is that his salary cap hit is under the league minimum. The league minimum being $650,000. Grailvec's cap hit is $625,000 because his contract was signed before the minimum went up. And that's not, you know, $25K in a $75 million salary cap sounds like an insignificant amount. It's not, because the caps are right up against it. So that extra $25K gives him a leg up. It's not going to be the difference between, hey, he's looked okay and somebody else has looked great, but he's going to, but we need that extra $25K. But that is, that could be a tiebreaker. That gives him a leg up. That is not something that will be lost on the coaches or the management for sure. And then I think Chaisson would be the extra because he's played well in the preseason. And the interesting thing about it is I think that Smith, Pelly, and Peluso were probably the front runners when this competition began. I think they were the guys that the team liked the most. They liked Peluso. I think that he was brought in as a counter to the Pittsburgh bringing in Ryan Reeves. But they've been outplayed so far.
And the, you know, to further your point about Grayback, don't forget he's also on a one-way deal, so he's gonna make $650 whether he's playing in Washington or Hershey.
Yeah,
right. His cap hit $625 because of a bonus structure there, but his salary is $650.
Right.
So again, you know, when you're talking about pro sports, that's not a huge sum. But if you're gonna be paying a guy NHL money, you want him to be on your NHL roster. Right. Not to mention you gave him a fifth round pick for him too. So it's not like, you know, sure they got him to protect Lars Eller in the expansion draft, but you still gave up something and you're paying him an NHL salary. If he can do the job, you got to give him a chance.
Right. Let's move on to the defense, which the pairings look a little bit more straightforward than the offense. You have Orlov and Niskanen. We all knew that was going to be it. Ness's practice with Collison the past 2 days. Is he the front runner now for that top four spot?
I do believe he is the front runner for that spot. Also, if you kind of parse Barry Trotz's words, he pretty much said that he likes the way he skates. He likes his compete level.
Yeah.
He likes the fact that he's played 39 NHL games. It kind of gives him a little bit of an experience advantage on some of the kids he's going up against. And again, you know, I think, like I said, you only have a week plus a couple of days here to get ready for the regular. Like, you're starting to put your groups together now.
Right.
Ness has been there for two straight days. If Ness had gone there on Monday and then there was another guy there today, then you think, okay, well, there's still something going. Two straight days. If he's there tomorrow, again, I mean, now you know your regular season lineup is really coming into focus.
Yeah. And then you have Orpik with Bowie. Bowie's been there the last 2 days, and they practice on the PK together. I think Bowie, even though he's been in only one preseason game, I think he impressed in that game. He's played well through camp. I think he has a leg up. I think it certainly looks like he's going to be in the top six to start the season, for sure.
Go back to Aaron Ness for a second. Just like Grayback, he makes $612.
Yeah, that's true. He's
so that's
low.
$37,500.
Right.
So you add that $37,500 to the $25,000. And those are significant savings for a team that's up against
the cap.
I could
see the gears working, trying to figure that math out in your head.
Yes.
They add that 37 to the 25, and you're just
they,
like,
they might have spun
that's a
twice.
Significant amount of money. That leaves Chorney. We're pretty sure he's going to be the number 7. Siegenthaler, night and day from his camp last year.
Dropped 24 pounds, stopped eating his mom's Thai food. He's starting to look like a pro. He's training like a pro. I think he's a year away.
Year away.
I think he's going to be pretty good.
But he's going to be pretty good. And there's no shame in him going to Hershey.
Nope.
That's where he needs to be to adjust to the North American ice. But it's been an encouraging camp for him, for sure. And that leaves us with two interesting guys, Juice and Lewington.
Yep.
Two guys that the team likes, they're high on, but two guys who are on the outside looking in because they haven't played well enough.
Yeah. I think that they are both kind of outliers in terms of their skill sets. You know, Juice is a high point producing guy at the AHL level. Lewington is a stay at home, old school, penalty kill, block, shot blocking, you know, in your face kind of D-man, right?
Yeah.
And so they're kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum. But I something tells me that they are probably going to start the season in Hershey. I'm starting to run out of places to put them. I mean, maybe Juice makes it because of his waiver status. He has to go through waivers, but I don't think they're going to do that if he's not good enough to make the team. Yeah. I think they're not just going to stash him in the press box because they're afraid of losing on waivers.
His waiver status does not guarantee him a spot on the roster. I understand that it would be a shame to lose him and that you risk losing him by putting on waivers, but that should not guarantee him a roster spot. Okay, now, he hasn't been better than Bowie. He hasn't been better than Ness. And so you can't put him I don't think you can put him on the team at this point just because of his waiver status, which is essentially what they've been doing.
There's three preseason games left, and I think he's going to get into one, maybe two, and that's going to be his year right there. His year is going to deter – he's got to stop deferring to his more experienced teammates when he's got his chances to show his offensive wares. Yeah. He's got to get to the net like he did the other night.
He did.
But he's got to finish. I mean, like, he's got to light the lamp. He's got to get an assist. He's got to start running the offensive zone from the point. He's just got to start doing the stuff that he does so well down in Hershey. He's got to bring it up here, and he's got to, when you go into the corner and you're getting forechecked by a big four, don't get flung. Right. I think he's done a good job of avoiding some big hits, but I think he's also gotten tossed a couple times.
In three preseason games, he has shown one moment of offensive flair, and it was phenomenal. It was great. Right. He drove to the net, and he looked great, but you have to show, given your size, given the competition, you have to show more than one flash of greatness. And we were there. His size was a concern coming in, and we saw in the Carolina game, Marcus Kruger goes after the puck in the corner. Juice chases after him. Mm-hmm. It's in the corner. Juice should plant him into the boards. Instead, Kruger swats him like a little fly, is able to get the pass away, and Carrick scores a goal. And it's a goal for Carolina. A bigger defenseman would have finished that play off, would have pinned him against the board, and it would have amounted to nothing. Instead, it was a goal because he wasn't able to pressure him because of his size. Right now, the only reason to keep Juice on the roster is because of his waiver status, and I don't think that's enough to keep him around. Let's move on to the Tom Wilson suspension. Tom Wilson was suspended 2 games for his hit against Robert Thomas. Two preseason games for his hit on Robert Thomas, the St. Louis Blues prospect, in the Capitals' preseason loss to the Blues. Tarek, what was your reaction to the hit, the suspension? What was your reaction?
At first blush, the hit didn't look late to me. It was happening on the opposite side of the ice from where the press box is. It just looked like a typical Tom Wilson hit, right? It just looked like he found a smaller player that probably had gotten under his skin. It was the Caps were losing. Whenever Tom Wilson feels the need, he needs to get some energy in the building. His signature move is go make a big hit in front of the benches. And it either riles up the other team, which riles up his bench, or it riles up his bench because it happened right in front of the Capitals bench. And he went for the hit, and I didn't think anything of it. And then when Jaskin came over and challenged him to fight, I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. Your third line right wing punching a kid's another guy's visor for 90 seconds. This is fantastic. And when we interviewed him yesterday, you could see all the cuts on his fingers. And I said, was it all from punching Jaskin's helmet? He goes, yeah, but they're not too deep, just little guys talking with the cuts on his knuckles. Yeah. But still, that's a hard way to earn your living, punching a helmet. But anyway, as far as the hit, once we saw it on replay multiple times after we heard that he was going to have a hearing, then you could see that, okay, Thomas had lost control of the puck. He was sort of engaged, I believe, with Stevenson. Tom kind of hunted him down to a certain extent and then kind of curled around Stevenson, who was kind of like serving as a pick, and delivered a pretty high forceful blow to Thomas. If you're the league, Tom Wilson's been in your crosshairs for a few years now.
Yes.
You've been trying to nail this guy for a few years, and he's always been able to talk his way out of it. And now here's your opportunity to say, look, here, guy, okay, we don't like the way you hit all the time. Sometimes it's late, sometimes they're hot. We don't like everything you do, and we're gonna make a send you a message right now on the preseason where we're not hurting your team, we're not hurting you because you're not getting paid yet, so you're not even going to lose a penny of your salary. And we're doing you a favor by taking you out of preseason games. But understand, we don't like some of the things you do. Maybe take a moment of pause before you make some of these hits. The downside is now he's a repeat offender.
That's the key.
Yeah. And if he does something questionable again, the next time Parros takes a look at it, it's not going to be, oh, well, he has a clean record. We'll
never
get him some
been
leniency.
Suspended.
Yeah, there's no more never been suspended before. Even though it was the preseason, now the next time he does it, it's, well, you know what? He did this before. He was fined for a kneeing. He was fined for a diving. So this is really three things that he's, you know, attracted the attention of the Department of Player Safety. I guess you don't really count the diving, but still, that's on your permanent record, as they say. So now he's got to be a little more careful. We talked to him. He said he's not going to change the way he plays, but I'd be very surprised if he doesn't dial it back a little bit. Because if he does have another questionable hit and he misses two games in the regular season, given the fact that this roster doesn't have the depth that it used to have, that hurts. That hurts.
Tarek, someone on Twitter accused me this week of being the contrarian on the podcast, which I thought was funny. But
you're a negative Nancy.
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to admit that when I saw the hit, I didn't like it. Just initially when I was watching it in real time. And it's not because I thought it was dirty. It's because I saw him track Thomas, and then he laid out this prospect, this 18-year-old prospect. This is the preseason. There's no need to lay out an 18-year-old. I mean, you're Tom Wilson. You can lay out half the NHL. What are you doing taking out an 18-year-old like that? And don't give me the, oh, well, this is hockey. You know what you get into with hockey. This is the preseason. Who are you trying? Oh, you're trying to rile up the bench, get them going for this preseason
game?
Who cares?
Things are happening at 27 miles an hour. And
yes, but he tracked the whole time.
When I talked to him yesterday, like, he still wasn't. I mean, he wasn't still sure who he hit. Like, you know, it's not like he pulls out his roster from his hockey pants and he goes, all right, here's a rookie, a prospect.
He may not know who it was, but you can't hide that he's 6 foot, 188 pounds.
Tom Wilson plays the way Tom Wilson plays.
Well, he made that clear yesterday. He made that clear when he talked about the hit.
So I think he might be a little more judicious.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't change the way he plays too much because that's what makes him that's what makes him an NHL full-time player.
I thought it was unnecessary, but I didn't think it was dirty. And then I saw the replay and the frame-by-frame breakdown, and there is a point where the puck is to the right, Thomas is to the left. Wilson basically has a choice. He goes left. He goes after Thomas. You can't really argue. It was a late hit. Fine. The suspension. But I just think there's you know, no real need for that in the preseason. Everyone knows you're Tom Wilson. They know you can what you can do. They know that you can shake the fillings out of it. Most of the players in the NHL. I don't know why you go after a kid like that. But, you know, it is hockey. It was a big hit. It is what it is. Now he's been suspended for two meaningless games, but now he has to be more careful. And I know he says he's not going to change things, but he kind of has to because now he's in the crosshairs, as you said.
Yeah.
And you know who else? Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're also in the crosshairs of our sponsors. And we're back. Tarek, let's open up the mailbag.
Let's do it.
First question from Brad Beister.
What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. Just had a few questions about the Caps sweater. Hopefully you have inside info on this. We don't, but ask away. Why did the Caps stick with their current sweaters and not go back to their third reds from last season and the whites before as their primary? I feel like those vintage sweaters are such a better design and the fans and players like them more.
I actually do know a little bit about that. Okay. So Adidas felt a little bit overwhelmed. They didn't feel like they were going to be able to deliver on third jerseys in the first year.
Right. That's why there's no alternative. I think he's asking why didn't they just revert to their retro as their primary.
Because then your retro and your primary wouldn't match, I think. You know, they'd be two completely different sweaters. Does anyone else in the league do that? I don't know.
Well, he wants... He's wondering why they didn't go back to the old school reds and the old school
whites. Okay. No, I totally misunderstood. Well, It's not that easy, for one thing. You have to petition the NHL to change your uniforms.
Yes.
And that takes time. I remember when they changed to red, white, and blue years ago, like that was like a 18 to 24 month process. Like it took a while. Like yes. They had to petition, then they had to explain why they wanted to do it, then they had to show what they were going to do. I mean, like it's not, you can't just do it overnight.
Right.
And with Adidas coming on board, you know, there was already a lot going on. But you know, I know you didn't ask this question, but that's why they don't even have no teams have a third jersey this year, is because Adidas wanted to make sure this rollout went properly. I did find out something that you uniform nerds might like. There are a few teams you will notice when these jerseys were unveiled. Do you remember there were some holes? The numbers themselves actually had holes in them. Do you remember that when they were unveiled?
Yes.
Because these jerseys are supposed to be significantly lighter than the previous ones. So I asked the equipment guy with the Capitals one day. I was like, how come the numbers don't have holes? They were supposed to have holes in them. He said only a handful of teams are actually going to use those numbers this year, because us equipment guys, we were concerned about the stock. We weren't sure that the people who make the numbers with the holes couldn't assure that they could get us additional numbers on short order, and you know, on a short turnaround if we needed it. He said, I just couldn't have, you know, 19 players out there with numbers with holes in them, and then one guy has numbers that I bought, you know, at the Dick's down the road. Like, sure. Everyone's got to be uniform. So he said, until they can assure all the teams that they can, so eventually you're going to see, I think, the uniforms that have the holes in the shoulders and the holes in the numbers on the back. And one other thing I noticed about the Capitals uniform, and you guys noticed it too, the guys who wear the letters on their sweaters are way lower than they would be anywhere else because of that stripe.
Because of the stripe.
Because the stripe
kind of
goes right through there. Yeah, so
that boxy look now.
Yeah, so it's a... I almost wonder if putting the C through the stripe, but then it would look like you have an E. Like it would look weird. It would look like another letter. It's just not ideal where that blue stripe is. I wonder if in future iterations they're going to make an adjustment for the guys who have the, or maybe just stop the line. I don't know.
I heard one theory of why they made it that way.
Made what?
It may have been from you. I can't remember who said it, but the reason why they made it so boxy like that, it's to leave plenty of room on those shoulders for those future advertisements that are coming. I mean, that day is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Does it bother you? I don't care.
It will.
As long as, for me, let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
I don't mind if they have little, like, Sony or whatever. What would bother me is if they took Capitals off and they went like the Premier League team.
It can't look like the MLS.
Yeah.
Major League Soccer.
I don't even know what you're
talking about. It can't look like soccer teams, basically, where it looks like you're not DC United, you're Leidos.
Right.
You're the fighting DC Volkswagens.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. I don't want the Capitals logo to ever go away and have the major sponsor on your chest.
Right.
I also don't want the Zepter or whatever. The front of the helmet, like the international games.
Yeah.
That bothers me too.
It looks so, that looks terrible.
But, you know, we might be going that way, man. I mean, you look at how professional leagues are like, really, they're looking under every rock for alternative revenue streams. I wouldn't be surprised if we do start seeing major sponsors on jerseys sooner rather than later.
Why go with the current Washington Capitals logo for the Adidas practice sweater when they could have just used the Eagle logo? Now it looks weird and reads Washington Capitals. It just looks really awkward. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess, because it says Capitals, and then in the circle around it, it says Washington Capitals.
Stand by. I'm Googling it.
You're going to Google it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the circle, you know, it's a circle. It says Washington Capitals, and it surrounds the Capitals logo.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that the thought process into the practice jersey was probably about 3 to 5 seconds. I don't think they thought that long about it.
You know what?
It looks like I hated terrible. It when I first saw it.
I'll tell you what I do like. I do like the three stripes on the side.
A lot of people hate those. It never bothered me. The practice jerseys, I didn't like them when I first saw them. Now I'm immune to it.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here, and you're probably not going to like it because you're so conservative and... traditional. You know what?
What?
I want teams to get away from the same red, white, and blue. Like, get some brighter colors in there. You know who has the best uniforms in all of sports?
Uh-oh.
the Seattle Seahawks with their fluorescent green and silver and blue. I want to see some different variations of the colors. I'm not saying get away from red, white, and blue. Maybe make the blue like a bright blue. Like, give me some electric colors. Like, give me some new.
I wouldn't mind that.
I mean, you know what? Every Saturday when I'm home, mm-hmm. I look around for I'm looking for the best college football game. If the Ducks are playing, I stop and look at their uniforms because I'm like, wow, they got like a silver helmet on today
but
with
the Ducks
black
do
pants.
It right.
And they do, but I wish pro teams would do that a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of the box a little bit. Get me something more interesting than just, you know, the throwback. I mean, don't get me wrong, the red throwback's pretty cool,
right?
But I want to see some more futuristic looks. Well,
the Ducks do it right, unlike the Terrapins, who throw out some hideous iteration of their uniform every week.
You know what? I stop and look at those too. Those don't kill me. The Maryland flag is pretty darn cool.
The half and half is ugly, where they have the black and yellow on one side and the red and white on the other. That's ugly.
Okay, I like the matte black. Where is this podcast gone? Like this should be like the uniform. This should be the uniform.
This is the first question, by the way, and the last part for the outdoor game. Are they going with the complete new sweater design? There you go, Tarek. They can experiment with that for the stadium series game. Maybe they will. I doubt that they can't go throwback unless they go with the black.
I just hope it's not 75 degrees. That's all I hope, and the ice isn't like water.
That would be nice.
75 degrees raining.
It's funny. There are only two things that they can't do. Sun and rain.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Which always begs the question, why are they playing these for the middle of the day? Just play them at night. Then you don't have to worry about sun.
Like that Pittsburgh game. But it got rained out.
I was there. Yeah, it was in the middle of the night. I mean, it was scheduled for the middle of the day. And then it was going to rain, so they pushed it back and turned it into a primetime game, which made it way cooler.
And little known fact, Tarek and Dan Steinberg went out really late the night before. I just remember there were many shots involved. And it's a good thing that game got pushed back because I might not have been there for the
there
first
period. Greg Christian. Hey, Maverick and Goose. Thanks for accommodating my question last week.
It's okay.
I love you guys' insight and analysis on more than a few questions. You provide perspectives that I hadn't heard before. Love the show. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Here's a question I've had for several years but haven't remembered to submit. Does it make sense to me that deliberately shooting the puck down the ice out of the defensive zone when under pressure is merely an icing violation while accidentally flipping it over the glass in the same situation as a penalty? It seems to me that you should either be allowed to clear the puck out of trouble or you shouldn't. Do you have any insight that can help me understand why the disparity?
That's a good question. I guess I've never really considered that. But one of the reasons that they made flipping the puck over the glass a penalty is because that's something that they used to do to stop play and, you know, get a change. And it's relatively easy to do if you're a pro hockey player. I mean, I probably would need about 8 chances to do it. But I think why is that a 2-minute penalty? I think that was because the league was looking at ways, they were exploring ways to increase scoring, to get more power plays. And that was one of the things they came up with. Okay, you put the puck over the glass in the defensive zone, we're going to give the other team a power play and therefore perhaps increase scoring. So in their mind, they were deterring teams from artificially stopping the game
right
by flipping the puck into the stands. And also increasing the power play opportunities for and the chances of scoring more for the other team. The one thing I would say, and this is not what you're asking, Greg, but something to think about. There are times when the puck gets batted out of like midair
and
over the glass,
counts,
and it's still now those dumb. those are so like that's just kind of chance, you know, like that's a player just trying to like get a stick on the puck and he ends up knocking it out. He wasn't trying to put the puck off the rink to get a change. He was just trying to knock the puck out of midair and it ended up going out.
Right.
Those I wish they would let up on those a little bit. But again, like you're seeing with the slashing, like you're seeing with the face-off violations, the league is looking for ways to put the power plays on the ice because they want to see those goals go up. And if by, you know, squeezing teams on certain rules to get more power plays is, you know, is in their mind is one way to do it.
Here's a question from Luke. Do you think Caps try to sign Carlson during the season? He could have a very big year now that he's away from Alzner and Orpik, upping his price if they wait. Could also trade him in the summer if they sign him instead of letting him walk for nothing. This is what I will say is that rarely do you see a player get signed and then immediately traded. That's more of an NBA thing, the old sign and trade. I think right now there's no real incentive. Like, the NHL can't – the way that it's structured, there aren't bigger contracts for if you re-sign with a team, right?
You can for lengthwise.
Lengthwise.
I don't see he's a guy who gets an 8-year contract.
An 8-year contract. Yeah. I don't see that as being an issue with Carlson. So I don't see there being any incentive on him signing with the Caps just to trade.
Right. I think that there could be a conversation, you know, at some point where they, if they haven't already had one, where they feel one another out. I think the Capitals want to see him play better. They want to see him play like a top pairing or a number three, very solid number three. He had an uneven year last year, so they want to make sure that his game is still on the upswing. He's a young player still, 27 years old, right? I mean, they want to see they want to make sure his game is still on the upswing. I don't see why he wouldn't be the kind of guy that you'd at least inquire about keeping around.
Yeah.
But again, he needs to come out and show that he's, a player that deserves that $6.5 to $7 million contract. Yeah. I mean, put it to you this way. John Carlson is going to get paid.
Yes.
And paid a lot of money next year.
But he needs
whether it's by the Capitals or whether it's by someone else. That's kind of what we got to find out here. And I think there would be a conversation. I don't see him signing a long-term deal during the year, though.
The thing about John Carlson is that I think what happens to them is really dependent on where the Caps go this season. We know defense is a problem for them. They don't have enough defensemen. So if they think they have something going, they can't trade him just because they don't want to risk losing him, because they already have three top four defensemen. They can't get rid of one of them. So they may find themselves in the situation where they have to ride it out and risk seeing him walk in the offseason just because they can't afford to trade him. But if things are tanking and the season is going south, they may trade him because he is a guy who's highly respected around the league and who they can get something for. So it's an interesting situation, but I don't see him as a guy who the team could really – I don't see him as a sign and trade. You don't really see that in the NHL all that much, and I don't think he's an 8-year player, so I don't see there being much incentive there. All right, let's move on to the next question. Bill Bridges. Reading Barry's tea leaves and barring some major surprise or injury, here are the newcomers I see making the team out of training camp. Ooh, he's going to give us his picks, all right, Tyler?
Okay, got it.
For it's Smith, Pelly, Walker, Vrana, and in a surprise, Graovac. I do think they'll sign Chiasson and send him to Hershey for a call-up. On defense, it seems like Ness has a leg up to play with Carlson, although I don't think that will last. I also see Bowie and Jews making the team. That means carrying 8 defensemen, but looking at cap-friendly, I think it can work. I know JJ isn't crazy about Hughes, but losing him on waivers would be a mistake. Well, a few things. We know – I don't think they have the money to carry 8 defensemen, first off. They're going to be super up against the cap. I don't think they'll be able to do that. We know that Barber isn't going to make the team because he just got cut. Smith Pelly, I think, is on the outside looking in right now. Walker, I agree, is in. Vrana is in. Graovac, I think, is in, as we discussed. Ness, I think you correctly label him as the guy having the leg up on the competition to play with Carlson. But as I said, Juice, a waiver spot does not guarantee you a roster spot. And right now, that's the only reason to keep Juice, is because you're worried about losing him on waivers. But Juice has Stanislav Galiev to thank for them, the Capitals not wanting to do that again. They kept the guy who they were worried about losing on waivers, who wasn't ready to crack the lineup, and so he sat there, and he barely played all season, and it wasn't a good situation for anybody. So I see them, if they don't think he's ready, and he's not good enough to make the team, and he doesn't outplay a guy like Bowie or Ness, I don't see them just holding on to him for fear of losing him on waivers.
I agree. I think at this point, other teams, even if he were to be put on waivers, let's say he doesn't make the team, he's put on waivers, I think other teams are going to look at his size. They're going to look at the fact that he wasn't able to win a spot on a team that had two openings.
Right.
How much can he help? Yep. I mean, I think teams, the Capitals especially, are sometimes way too concerned about losing players on waivers and probably shouldn't be. I think he'd pass through.
Last question from a certain Ben Raby.
Ben!
He says, long time, first time. My question, what do you do when the Caps and Devils meet late in September? I'll hang up and listen. Well, Ben, as you well know, you throw out the records. You throw out those records. Those records don't mean anything when the Caps and Devils meet in late September.
It's going to be a hopping atmosphere. Lots of line brawls.
Oh, it's going to be a madhouse. Wednesday, of course, is the last preseason home game, and then there are two more on the road, and then it's time for some real hockey. Finally, some real hockey.
It's about time, man.
It's about time.
You know, I'll tell you, this training camp has kind of dragged a little bit when compared to last year's. Last year's, you know, I was up in Toronto for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I came back, and it was like, bam, 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 we're in the regular season.
Yep.
This one's kind of, even though there have been some competitions to kind of track, which has been a little more interesting than previous years, yeah, it's time for some real hockey.
It is time for some real hockey. Luckily, you have a real podcast to get you through the last week of the preseason training camp. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next pod, send your question to CapitalsFaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe on Art19. We've moved from Audio Boom to Art19. So subscribe on Art19, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts are available. And be sure to give us a good rating and review. It really does help spread the word about the show. Tark, we are so close to real hockey. So close, in fact, that I think the next podcast we do will be preseason previewing the first game of the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
We are that close. So close we could taste it. Few more cuts today, a few surprises, but the next time we talk, we will have a roster to talk about, a preseason to look forward to, and some real hockey to sink our teeth in. For Tark El-Bashir, I am JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.
See ya.